Okay, what else? Anyone have any other questions?
I had a couple of philosophical questions. One is, we hear this expression that first we have to become conscious and then we become Krishna conscious. And I'm wondering, is that referring particularly to the mode of goodness? Cultivating the mode of goodness means becoming conscious.
Yeah, that's correct. That in order to become Krishna conscious, you have to cultivate the mode of goodness and ultimately really rise to the mode of goodness. And then if you're conscious like that, then you can become Krishna conscious. Because without being in the mode of goodness, people don't hop up from the mode of passion and ignorance. Or if they hop, then they go up to become situated in the mode of goodness. If they get some kind of special concession, like the snake or McGrary, they come to the mode of goodness, but the general principle is that's why we do sadhana bhakti, that's why we purify our hearts, that's why we try to come to all these things, anartha nivritti, anishta. These things are heading towards and being in goodness.
Can I ask a question about these deities?
Mm-hmm.
The Tuesday before.
The what?
Who did they belong to before?
Well, Radha Damodar belonged to Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was Lord Chaitanya's secretary, personal secretary, and he used to worship them in Jagannath Puri, and that's where we also got the opportunity to serve them from. You know who Swarup Damodar is?
I don't know who is he.
You don't know? Someone else know?
Mm-hmm. Was he a servant of Lord Chaitanya?
And do we know who he is in Krishna's pastimes? He's Lalita Devi in Krishna's pastimes. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
So he's someone's. Just like Lord Chaitanya is, who is Lord Chaitanya?
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna, but what's the difference between him and Krishna?
Well, that he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani.
Correct. That he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he's actually thinking of himself as Srimati Radharani. He's like an actor. Something else?
Guru Maharaj, we used to have a sign on the wall in the ashram, and I think the quote was taken from the Haribhat Devalas, and it described five different considerations of seniority, and they were age, vanashram, position, initiation, and advancement.
Mm.
So I was wondering that in our dealings with different devotees, you know, someone may be older, someone may be more advanced. You know, there's different devotees that are more senior in different categories. So how do we prioritize those different levels?
Yeah, that's etiquette. That's etiquette. It may vary according to circumstance, but usually age and varnashram, in terms of showing respect, those externally become dominant. For instance, Shukadeva Goswami is Vyasadeva's son, but still he's the one who's speaking. But Vyasadeva, and he may be more advanced, but Vyasadeva doesn't stand up to greet him, or Narada Muni doesn't stand up to greet him. And Krishna washes Sudama Vipra's feet because he's a Brahmin, and Krishna's in the role of a Kshatriya. So these things, and it will depend on the circumstance. Parents, everyone has to defer to parents in terms of regular conduct, but then there may be other circumstances also that dominate. So it's knowing that, knowing when and how, that's a very interesting thing. Well, the front of your kurta is one color and the back is another. Look at Shambhihai's kurta. And then over there, there's a stripe. You see how funny his kurta is? Look, in the front, it's yellow. And then up there, it's saffron. And then when he turns around, then it's also a different color.
Yeah, I'm like a little monkey.
It's like a big monkey.
Big monkey. A hungry monkey.
Okay, something else? Yeah, that's all.
One question is that it says in the Nectar of Instruction that to intelligently apply the six kinds of loving exchanges, then one has to be able to discriminate among devotees according to their level of advancement. But at the same time, you also know that we don't really know how advanced somebody else is because that's an inner thing.
No, but we should be able to judge on the basis of the conduct. At least what it is that they're externally manifesting. So you may not internally know the level of someone's advancement, but internal conduct will, for third-class devotees and second-class devotees, will reflect in their external conduct. It's only very advanced devotees who may hide their conduct, but even then their level of advancement will be noticeable, and generally, especially in the preaching movement, they're going to conduct themselves in standard way. But in terms of conduct and in terms of speech, so that an Uttama Adhikari can be seen by the way that he speaks, that he is always able to both answer all issues and has full knowledge of Siddhanta and so on, whereas an intermediate devotee may not. He just has very strong faith, even in things that he doesn't know. And different variations of those. So, yeah, we should be able to recognize
according to their external behavior and their speech.
Yeah. Their speech, their conduct, their effect on others, ability to preach, detachment.
And for ourselves, because some classes you were also talking about how we should kind of be able to see for ourselves what level we are on. At the same time, we're also supposed to think of ourselves as the lowest of the low and being very unadvanced.
Well, there are two different things. One thing is that what's a devotee's state of mind in terms of his own mood or mentality, but simultaneously she has to be able to see with eyes of Shastra, and in terms of philosophy, he has to be able to gauge what stage I'm on. It doesn't matter whether someone's first class devotee, second class devotee, third class devotee, or what he's doing in the material world. So that, yes, you're Trinada Pisunichina, you've fallen, otherwise why are you here? But still, in order to progress, devotees need to know where they are, and they need to know what spiritual practices are relevant to their own advancement. Because different things are relevant or appropriate for different levels of advancement. Something else?
This is a difficult kind of question. There's one quote from Prabhupada where he says that Hitler was a gentleman because he didn't drop the nuclear bomb, because he thought it would cause too much destruction. Prabhupada says, at least that's the way I understand it. And then some devotees use this quote to justify their admiration or appreciation of Hitler and say that he was actually a good person.
Yeah, anyway, there's no justifying. You could say Hitler was a vegetarian. That doesn't, just because someone does one thing right, doesn't mean that other things are not accountable for. And qualify him as a demon. So he may have been a gentleman by not being a vegetarian, but that doesn't mean that he's not a demon, because he's responsible for, firstly, an unnecessary war that killed, I don't know, 70 million people, and secondly, killing 6 million Jews. So Jarasandha was very liberal towards Brahmanas, and he was very nice towards Brahmin culture, but he was still a demon. So even demons have some qualities. Even Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva, and he actually had a deity of Lord Varaha or some other deities. So he was... He did some things right, but that doesn't nullify all the other things that he did wrong. So sometimes Prabhupada may express that, but that doesn't necessarily mean nullify the whole picture. A devotee should be smart enough to know that Hitler was a demon, and there's no question of him being an overall gentleman. Just right, but you're not sitting right. You should be sitting straight. Otherwise, your spine's going to get crooked, and you're going to have problems later on. Everything goes through your spine, all your nerves, all your organs, everything. If your spine is bent, you're going to have, just like he's sitting nice and straight. And that's the way to sit straight, when you sit on your knees. If you sit on your knees, it's impossible not to be straight, isn't it? It's very comfortable. I used to do that until my knees gave way. And when you sit like that, it's very, very good posture, and you never fall asleep. In a sense, it's better than a city, even cross-legged. Okay. What did you say? Did you have breakfast or not?
We had breakfast. We had a little breakfast.
But do you need to have a big breakfast now? Okay. Looks like you're really austere. It's 9:45. And the school? What about school?
I felt that this is more important than school. So we're going to go after it.
Okay.
And they have an English class, so I don't need to learn English.
I see.
You can learn to teach English.
Yeah. Okay, so then breakfast time. Breakfast ki jai.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Okay.